Good morning. If you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. This morning we are continuing in the series of sermons that Pastor Mark began a number of weeks ago, and we're considering once again what it means to live up to our name as Christians. And last week's message was from the final verses of Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going into a new section of Jesus' teaching here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. So let's listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew 6, verses 1 to 4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a generous Father. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who has given all things to us. You have given us the sunshine and the rain. You've given us the seasons, the food that grows from the earth. You've given us our very breath that we have, and every heartbeat comes from you, Lord. All things come from you and through you and to you are all things, that you would have the glory. Father, we thank you that you are such a generous God, that you have given not only the things of creation in this world that we see and touch and experience, but you have given yourself, you have given your own Son. You have given Jesus, the Word become flesh. We thank you, Father, for the gift of Christ who has taken upon himself our own humanity, that he has become one of us, that though he is rich, eternal God, forever owning all things as God, and yet he became human, and he became even a servant. Lord, we thank you for the generosity that we find in Jesus, that he was giving of himself, that he was blessing those who were poor, and especially going out of his way to show mercy to those who had special needs. Thank you for his miracles and for his teaching, but also, Lord, especially for his death on the cross, that he gave his very life as a sacrifice. And Father, that you rewarded him, that you raised him from the dead. Lord, in the light of Jesus, in the light of the gospel, may we understand the words of Christ this morning. May we understand the teaching of Jesus in the light of who he is, in the light of what he has done for us. And may you work within our hearts this morning by your Holy Spirit, that we would become more like Christ, that we would become more conformed to the image of him, that we would be generous unto others, that we would be looking not into what other people think of us, not looking to our own ego and looking to our own needs, but looking to how we can bless others because of the blessing that you've given to us in Christ. Lord, may you bless this message for that purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And now that I've prayed through everything that I want to preach to you, I want to preach to you. I want to consider what God has for us here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And if there's one thing that should be very obvious from Jesus' words and from the whole Bible, it's that God wants us to be generous people. God calls us to be people who give unto others, and especially to give to people who have needs. You can see throughout the Bible, if you go back to the early pages of Genesis, God called Abraham. And what did God say to Abraham long ago? Did he just say, Abraham, I will bless you? Well, he said that, but he said something more. He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing, and all nations of the world will be blessed through you. And so even from the very beginning, in Abraham's journey of faith, he knew that God had a plan for him to be a blessing unto others. And that's the story of the people of God throughout history. The people of God, those who truly belong to God, are characterized as being people who give, as being people who are generous and whose hearts are looking outward, not just inward. Generosity is a characteristic of God's people in every generation. If you think about the people of Israel under the leadership of Moses, hundreds of years after Abraham, God gathered the people of Israel. He made them to be a nation. He set them apart. And sometimes we think, oh, the people of Israel, poor Israel, they were under the law and they were under strict rules. And that's true. In many ways, they were under, you know, a strict regimen in terms of what they had to do and what they had to follow and all the ceremonies. But God was also teaching them through the law to be generous. If you look at the law, you can see that God was teaching generosity. If you turn with me or take a note of Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 8, you'll see this law, and you'll see how the law points towards generosity and giving unto others. Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 and 8, it says, "If among you one of your brothers should become poor in any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand against your poor brother, but you shall open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his need, whatever it may be." That's the law. That's the law of God. And so even when we look at the law of God, we should understand it in this light, that the law was meant to teach the principle of godliness, which includes generosity. And since God was so generous to the people of Israel, as he reminds them there in verse 7, since God is giving you this land, if you find any needy person within this land, then be like God and give. Not just open up your hand, but your heart also. And that's the law of God. And God revealed himself then, not just to Abraham and through Moses to the people of Israel, but throughout the generations afterwards. You can read the book of Proverbs, and I want to give you some of the Proverbs that you can take a note of and think about these things today. After the message, perhaps this afternoon or sometime this week, take a note of these Proverbs and think about what God is saying to you personally. In Proverbs 14, verse 21, it says, "Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed is he who is generous to the poor." That's a characteristic of a blessed person, one who is generous to the poor. That's Proverbs 14, 21. Again, Proverbs 14, verse 31 says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." And so this is about honoring God or insulting God. The way that we treat people who are in need, the way that we either close our heart and ignore people in need, or open our heart and open our hand to those in need, that is a matter of not just human responsibility, but it's about honoring God or insulting God. Proverbs 16, verse 19, it says there in Proverbs 16, verse 19, "It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud." This is something that sometimes the people of Israel were confusing. They thought if God blesses us, then a sign of being right with God is that we're rich. And if God isn't blessing other people, then a sign of God not being with them is that they're poor. But actually, the Proverbs turns that around and says it's better to be with the poor and to be lowly and humble in spirit than to be a proud rich person. Proverbs 19, verse 17, again, you can't miss this in the book of Proverbs. What I'm showing you is just that this is consistent and it's thorough and it's everywhere in the Proverbs. Proverbs 19, verse 17, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will repay him for his deed." Proverbs 21, 13, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." You reap what you sow, in other words. In Proverbs 28, verse 27, finally it says, "Whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. And so, God will judge those who are not generous, the law says, and the Proverbs teach. And this is something that is continuous in the Old Testament. That's how the people of Israel were to be identified, as people who are generous and a blessing to others, a light into the world, giving freely to those in need. And likewise, this continues in the church in the New Testament. We are told in 1 John 3, verse 17 and 18. 1 John 3, 17 and 18 says, "If anyone has the world's goods and then sees his brother who's in need and yet closes his heart against him, how can the love of God abide in him?" Or how does the love of God abide in him, in such a person? How can you say such a person has the love of God dwelling in him if he's closing his heart to his brother? Little children, John goes on to say, little children, let us not love just in word or in talk, but in action and in truth. That's the way we are to be loving our neighbors. Not just singing songs and feeling good things in our hearts, and not just thinking wishful thoughts, but in action and in truth. Again, you can look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 and 19, and I'll just leave this as the last New Testament example of this principle. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 to 19, it says there, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them, command them, not to be haughty, nor to set their hope on uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good and to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, and thus storing up a treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." That is what people who have things are commanded to do, to give. People who are rich, people who have. And now you might be sitting there, and like me, saying, well, I'm not that rich, so that doesn't apply to me, right? Command those who are rich in this present age. Well, I'm not that rich. It depends who you compare yourself to, right? I would encourage you, if you have some time, to look up statistically where you would fit in terms of the world's riches. I visited a website, the name's slipping my mind, but that's all right, the name of the website, the web address, but there's a simple website that you can find out where you fit in terms of percentage and percentile in the world. And if you just take it this way, I won't talk about my own specific numbers, but let's just say you have a family that has two parents and two children, all right? So four people in your household, and you have a household income of $30,000. Most people in Canada wouldn't consider that to be a rich family. If your household income is $30,000 and you have four people in your house. Well, if that is your case, you are in the top 17 or 18% of the world in terms of worldwide percentile. If you live in Canada and you have a household income of $30,000 or more and two kids, you're in the top fifth for sure. And if you're higher than that, of course, you're an even more blessed position. And so what we should see is that this is not about comparing yourself to your neighbor and saying, how do I compare to my neighbor? But what you should see is that God has blessed you. If you have food and shelter, if you have any money in the bank account, that is not just for you. God has not just blessed you so that you would be blessed, but so that you would be a blessing, right? Just as Abraham was blessed so that he would be a blessing, God blesses us that we would be a blessing. And even if we have very little, another passage in the New Testament says this, in Ephesians 4, verse 28, "Let the thief no longer steal." He's thinking about people who became Christians. They used to be thieves. They had no money, perhaps, and they were just stealing to make ends meet, perhaps. But he says, don't do that anymore. Don't steal. But rather let him work, doing an honest work with his own hands, so that he might increase his bank account? No. Ephesians 4, verse 28 says, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. This is instruction even for a relatively poor Christian who has to come out of thievery, who has to come out of stealing for a living. Work with your hands, do an honest labor, so that you can already start to give, even from that beginning point. This is for all people. Now the fact is, all religions recognize what I've just been saying to be a good thing. And even atheists recognize what I've just been saying to be a good thing. Be generous. I think I saw that on a bus as a kind of a slogan some time ago and stuck in my mind. I think it was for the Jewish Community Center or Jewish Society of Winnipeg or something like that. Be generous, a good motto. Be generous. And I think anybody can agree with that, and everybody should agree with that. It is good to be generous. It's part of being human, really human, to be caring about people and looking to those who are needy and seeing what you can do for others. Be generous. And the fact is, Jesus recognized that there were a lot of people who were doing that outwardly. There were a lot of people who were, for one reason or another, giving to the poor. And yet, even among the scribes and the Pharisees, very zealous, very particular people, there were people who were rejecting him and rejecting God the Father, who is revealed through Christ, who were still giving to the poor. Jesus talks here about people who are giving to the poor in the synagogues and in the streets. They're giving in their places of religious gathering, and they're giving out in society, in public, and they're giving to the poor. And no doubt to the person who receives, they're happy to receive whoever's giving it, right? But you see, Jesus is calling us to a deeper walk than that. And he's showing us that God is pleased not just with outward generosity. It's not outward generosity that is, in the end, the essential thing that Jesus talks about here. We should be generous in an outward and practical way, but more than that, Jesus talks about the nature of true generosity, and that's what I want us to focus a little bit more attention on for the rest of our time this morning. And there are three principles of true generosity that we should take note of. Three principles of following Jesus in a way of true generosity. That's not just a matter of how much, what percentage you give, and what you give, and to who you give it, and what agency you give to. Three principles that are deeper than that, about the kind of giving that is pleasing to the Father. The kind of giving that honors God and pleases God, and that comes with a reward in the end from God. The first thing that we can take notice then of the way of true generosity is that true generosity is not motivated by what other people think or say about us. True generosity is not motivated by what do other people think or say about me. Whether those other people are my religious friends, or whether those other people are my friends out in the world, in the streets. Jesus says, thus, when you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet. He's picturing somebody, a religious guy, who's going to be generous and show off his generosity. And he's going to come out with a trumpet. Da, da, da. Here I'm giving into the offering in the synagogue, in the gathering place for worship, right? Or he's thinking of sounding a trumpet. Da, da, da. He goes out to the streets and he waves a flag maybe and says, I'm giving to the poor. Here you go. And you see, Jesus says that such people are hypocrites if they're doing this to be seen by others. And truly I say to you, they have received their reward. They'll enjoy some kind of earthly reward, perhaps. Other people will speak well of them. Other people will say, hey, look at that synagogue on the corner. Look at that church down the street. They're generous. Look at those Christians or those religious people. Look at how they're giving. Look at their amazing, you know, inner city ministry. Isn't that impressive? Isn't that the kind of church that really stands out? Or to the individual, they might say, look at John or look at Mary or whoever the person is that's so generous. Isn't that a remarkable person? Look at how generous they are. They have their reward. They are getting rewarded, but that's all the reward they get. They have their reward in full. The words of Jesus imply they have their reward fully. That's all the reward they get. And that's not the way of true generosity. You see, what happens when people give because they're concerned to be seen by other people? It's that really they're caring about their own ego. They're caring about their own ego, and that's not the nature of true generosity. It is possible, then, what Jesus is teaching, it's possible for you to give to the needy, to feed the hungry, to give clothes to those who lack clothing, to give shelter to those who lack shelter, to be doing all the right things outwardly, and yet inwardly, in your heart, you're actually self-seeking. Isn't that amazing? That Jesus could see this, and that God's word reveals this. It is possible to do the right thing with the wrong reason, with the wrong motivation, and especially if that motivation is caring what other people say, getting an earthly reward. You can apply this to other ways of getting an earthly reward. A lot of people at the end of the year, they look at how much taxes they owe, and they say, well, if I give to certain charities, I'll get back. Kind of balances the books nicely, and that's their motive. And that's really what motivates their giving. You can look at yourself in that regard. What is your motivation for giving? Is it that you're getting an earthly reward? Well, you'll get an earthly reward, but that's all you get out of it. That is not the nature of true generosity, to give so that you get something back, to give so that other people stroke your ego or include you in their friendship group or whatever. What Jesus shows us is that God looks deeper at the heart. And again, that's what the law of Moses was saying too. Don't just open your hand, but open your heart to your neighbor. The word of God discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, we're told in Hebrews 4, verse 12. And so it's not just about, hey, let's get together a great charity program. Hey, let's give this amount of money and do fundraising and then make a big name for ourselves as a church. That's not what God is saying to Bethesda. Hey, we just need to build up a big program and then make a big name for ourselves. No, the way of true generosity is not caring about what do other people say. The way of true generosity is not caring what do people think about me personally or what do people think about my group that's giving. Secondly, Jesus goes on to say, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, therefore. And this goes deeper than that. Not just don't go out in the streets and blow your trumpet, and don't just be careful about meeting in the gathering place publicly, but he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And this shows us that the way of true generosity is not to be concerned with priding ourselves or praising ourselves in our own heart. It's possible for somebody, you see, to take this principle and say, well, I never give, you know, in public. I never go before people and say, look at how much I give. But in your heart, your left hand is talking to your right hand. Remember what I gave last year? Yeah, that was really good. How much did I give last week? Oh, I should try to give a little more, then I'll feel a little better about myself. Your left hand is talking to your right hand. And the figure of speech that Jesus is using here is talking about internal dialogue. Your left hand talking to your right hand within yourself. Even within yourself, you should be free from just reminding yourself or praising yourself in your own heart. And this is the way of true generosity, then, more deeply. Matthew Henry, a commentator, says about this verse, about not letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He says that this teaches us that we must not observe it too much ourselves when we give. The left hand is a part of ourselves. We must not within ourselves take notice too much of the good that we do. We must not applaud and admire ourselves too much. Self-conceit and self-complacency and an adoring of our own shadow are branches of pride, as dangerous as vainglory and ostentation before men. It's the same root principle, in other words. The same root principle that causes one obvious hypocrite to come up and say, look at how much I'm giving, is the same thing that's in all of us, if we're honest, that says to myself, self, look at how much I'm giving. You see that? It's the same root. It can grow into a big tree where you have obvious, ostentatious people just showing off their generosity. It's the same thing that's in us when we say to ourselves, oh, self, look at how good I am. Look at how generous I am. And so we shouldn't be people who are always just trying to give because we want to pat ourselves in the back, either to build up our pride or else to massage our conscience. I think a lot of people give out of a guilty conscience. A lot of people think, well, I need to sort of massage these feelings of guilt. I feel rich, and so I just feel guilty that I have so much, and it's giving out of guilt. And that's not true generosity either. What Jesus then points us to ultimately is the way of true generosity, not caring about what other people think, not caring about what I think about myself either. The way of true generosity then is to be motivated by faith. It's to be motivated by faith in the generous Father that God, that Jesus has revealed, and that God is. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And he goes on to say, as you give in such a way, your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, Jesus is ultimately revealing something about the Father here in Matthew 6. It's not just restating the law, go and be generous people, and it's not just saying, go and be generous sincerely from the heart, but he reveals something about the Father that should motivate us, and that does motivate us and will motivate us if we're Christians. Because true generosity comes from faith in God as the generous one. Jesus says here of the Father, he is a Father. He's not just a Lord. He's not just a master. He's not just a ruler. He is a Father. And so that implies that he's somebody who gives graciously, not just under compulsion. If you go to your boss, and your boss gives you something for what you do as a worker, that's a matter of owing you, right? You're in a relationship. You work to the one who works. His wages is not given as a gift, but it's given as something that's due to him, right? That's kind of a legal relationship. And a lot of people think of God that way. He's just kind of this boss, and if I do enough good works, he'll give me some kind of reward. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's talking about God as a Father. When I, as a father, reward my children for doing something good, it's not because I'm in a legal relationship with them and that I owe them something, like by the law of Canada or something. There's no written law, written contract between me and my kids. If they do something good and kind to one another or to whoever, to me or to whoever else, if I see my kids doing something good and that pleases me and I give to them some kind of reward, it's not because it's a legal relationship. And likewise, Jesus teaches us that God is such a Father. He is a Father who sees in secret. And he's a generous Father who will reward you, even for the little things you do. And so that's what should keep us from caring about what other people think. What keeps us from caring about what other people think of us, and what keeps us from caring about what do I think about myself, patting myself on the back, or else condemning myself, what keeps me from that way of self-focus is to look at the Father who is so generous, who sees me even in secret, and who sees even the little things I do in secret, and who is so generous that he rewards even secret things. This is the Father that Jesus reveals. And the good news is that Jesus didn't only speak about this Father, but he showed the character of the Father. When Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, who were the people that he spent most time with? Well, he gathered these rather common men around him. He went out into the villages and he healed the sick, those who had special needs, right? Those who were paralyzed, those who were demon-possessed, those who had special needs. He spent time doing social work, you could say, meeting with people with special needs. He came and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have been anointed to preach the good news to the poor. He said that. That's what his mission was about, going to preach good news to the poor. And he came and he showed special generosity to those who were poor. Ultimately, what Jesus did is not only teach about this and live it out by his life on earth, but Jesus went to the cross as the ultimate gift, as the ultimate act of generosity. This Jesus who said, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This Jesus, he went to the cross, being God himself. He showed what the Father is like by giving his own life as a sacrifice. To people who have no righteousness in and of themselves, Jesus gave himself on the cross. He gave his life as a ransom for many, as a payment. The ultimate gift, the ultimate payment, the ultimate exchange was made by Jesus, the Lord himself, giving himself his life, sinlessness in our place. And the good news is that the Father has raised him from the dead. The Father has already begun rewarding Jesus then. We know then, we can trust that we have such a Father who rewards his children, because this Father that Jesus talks about, this Father has given his Son, and his Son has been humble and not seeking the praise of people, not seeking to pat himself on the back. Jesus went to the cross, even to death itself, and God rewarded him. God raised him from the dead. That's why I know I have such a generous Father. And that is the foundation of our faith if we're Christians. To be a Christian, then, is not just to be someone who gives to the poor. All people should give to the poor. To be a Christian is not just to give generously from the heart, but it's to be giving generously by faith, because we believe in this God who is a generous Father, who is a rewarder of those who seek him, who is a rewarder even of the secret things that are done in faith. And so, if you're not a Christian today, you should know that God reveals himself to you today in his word. God reveals himself as a generous Father, and you can come to him. And if you receive Christ, you have received the greatest thing that you could ever receive. You've received a person. You've received God himself. And what better riches are there to be had than to have the source of every blessing? God invites all people to receive Christ, and if you have received Christ, then know him and continue to grow in the knowledge of him. Know how generous he is. Look at his life in the Gospels revealed and his generosity to the poor, and let your heart be conformed to that image. Know that the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and if he's raised Jesus from the dead, then what are you worried about in padding your bank account? Or else, what are you worried about in padding your own ego and your self-esteem? Get your mind off of those things and look at the generous Father revealed by Jesus, who has raised Jesus from the dead, who has given a new heavens and new earth promised to all who trust in him. And as we have our hearts growing in the grace and knowledge of this generous Father, we will be generous ourselves. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your generosity. We thank you for Christ and his open heart to those who are poor, especially to those who are poor in spirit, to those who are humble. Lord, we thank you that when we confess, we have nothing of our own. We have no righteousness to confess, to pat ourselves on the back about. And we don't look at our own financial giving or any other good work, Lord, when we look to you as the Father who has given us righteousness and salvation in Christ and eternal life in him. Lord, we thank you that we find blessing. We find real blessing, not just materially, but in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would bless every soul that's here in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, and may we continue to grow as a church and as individuals to be people who show the likeness of Christ in our giving. Lord, you see what's in secret. Now lead us, Lord, in secret and in public. In Jesus' name, amen.